Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Hello, and welcome to Dining with Death. This episode is on my playlist, Dining with the Disappeared, where we talk about people who have vanished. We discuss the timeline of events and where they disappeared from, which often has an element of food to it, not always. I'm Stacey Lee. Let's begin. This disappearance has been on my list ever since I started covering disappearances. It's a well-known case and one that is much closer to my heart than most because it occurred here in my town. Mason Smith walked away from his house here in St. George, Utah on August 31st, 2015 and has not been seen since. It's a tragic story and one that has touched thousands of people who are hoping for some sort of resolution for the Smith family. Today, as we discuss this case, I'm going to take you to the neighborhood Mason Smith disappeared from, and I'm going to show you around a little bit. The Smith family moved to St. George, Utah from Canada. Most of them are members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, more widely and commonly known as the Mormons, and they moved here to be a part of that community and because the sun shines here almost every day of the year. Both Mason and his mother, Tracy, suffer from seasonal depression, and they wanted to be where the sun shines all the time. They had only been in St. George, Utah for a few months when Mason disappeared. I don't know about you guys that are parents, but when I would get into arguments with my kids when they were teenagers and they would go up to their rooms and like go to bed or be mad at me and go in their rooms, I would always check and like double check and triple check because of stories like this one. Even before this story happened, there are other stories out there of kids who get into it with their parents and do something really drastic. And I was always terrified when my kids were mad at me that they would do something like this. It's a parent's worst nightmare. Mason Smith is the youngest of six children, and all of his siblings were already out of the house. His mother said he was very much coddled and babied by his older siblings. They loved to play with Mason and took great care of their little brother. Mason and his mother were very close and grew even closer with him being the only child left at home. On August 31st, 2015, Mason texted his mother, Tracy, and happily told her that he had all straight A's. Mason was very intelligent and was doing very well in school. The move had been difficult on him. Moving to a new school your senior year is hard on any kid, and it was hard on Mason, but he was trying to make the most of it. Mason's father, Darren, worked out of town, so Mason and his mother spent a lot of time alone together. Because Mason transferred from Canada, not all of his credits transferred, and that required Mason to take some summer school classes. He was excelling in those classes. He loved his school, and he liked the kids he had met in the short time that he was here. Mason, he is an imposing figure, but he is in fact very quiet and sensitive. He's also quite shy. Mason suffered from a speech impediment that made his speech sound a little slurred, and he was bullied very badly in Canada, and this made him more shy. These stories are such a lesson in how important it is to be kind to people because you just don't know what they're dealing with. Making fun of someone because their speech is a little slurred. I mean, wow. I mean, I know that's how kids are. Mason was very involved in the world of video games and anime, and he also loved to play the guitar. Because he was quiet and shy, he spent a lot of time in his room alone, working on playing the guitar and playing video games. As Mason grew older, he became very, very obsessed with the world of Japanese anime. His parents didn't love all the subject matter in some of the movies that Mason watched. They were very conservative, and they felt that Mason was spending too much time watching anime alone in his room. On August 31st, Mason's father, Darren, came home from a construction job. He was working in Salt Lake City. He wanted to take Mason out driving in order for Mason to practice so he could obtain his learner's permit. Well, Mason told his father that he had a headache and he didn't want to go out driving. Later that evening, Mason's mother went into his room. The room was dark and Mason was laying in bed. His mom sat down beside him and asked what was wrong. Mason replied that he didn't feel very well. His mother gave him a kiss on the forehead and went off to bed, but before she did, she unplugged the internet router so that Mason wouldn't stay up all night watching anime or playing video games. Again, his parents were somewhat concerned about the time he was spending on those activities, and they had instilled a 10 p.m. curfew for all electronics. This was a source of contention in the home and something the three of them argued about often. Around 1 a.m., Mason's father, Darren, woke up, hearing something out in the front room. He got out of bed and walked down the hall, and sure enough, there was a light coming from underneath Mason's door. Mason had got up and plugged the router in, disobeying his parents. Darren went into Mason's bedroom to find him watching anime on his laptop. Darren was angry, and he took Mason's laptop and he took his phone. There wasn't really an argument. Mason handed over the electronics without a fight, and Darren went back to bed. The next morning at 7 a.m., Darren Smith went to his son's bedroom door and knocked. There was no reply. Darren knocked again and said, "Get up," and then went to get in the shower. Around 7:30, Tracy and Darren Smith heard Mason in the kitchen, and then they heard the garage door open at 7:40 a.m., which was typical for Mason. His bus came around 7:45, and they figured Mason was off to catch the bus. Neither parent actually saw Mason that morning. They only heard him. Tracy went to work and Darren stayed at home. Darren wanted to take Mason to practice driving that day after school. And at 3:15, the bus came and dropped all of the kids off from school. Mason wasn't on it. Because Darren had taken Mason's phone away from him, he had no way to contact Mason. Darren was immediately panicked. He called Tracy and told her that Mason had not come home on the school bus. Both parents were alarmed as this was not typical of Mason's behavior, and they both realized Mason was angry that his electronics had been taken. Tracy immediately checked her email. As she feared, there was a notice from the school in her inbox. Mason had not been in school that day. She rushed home and she and Darren went to Mason's room. His bedroom door was locked for the first time ever. Mason's door was never locked. Tracy and Darren got inside the bedroom. It was empty. They waited to see if Mason would turn up at their church for what is called a young men's activity. He didn't show up, and by 10 o'clock that night, the Smiths called the police and reported their son missing. This was not the first time Mason had disappeared. Once in Canada, his parents had taken all his electronics from him, and Mason had become very, very angry and had left the house. He spent the night outside in a sleeping bag in December. He ended up coming back inside the house, but I think that shows just how determined he was to make a point when he was mad. The day after Mason disappeared, September 2, 2015, the Smiths were assuming that Mason would return home when he cooled off. Tracy went to the high school to pay for Mason's senior fees, and she spent a while looking around the school to see if he was there somewhere. He was not. When Tracy got home, she went and sat in Mason's room, and then she saw something. Mason's school binder was on the closet floor. Tracy then also found Mason's wallet. Now she knows he has left home without his books and without his wallet. No clothes were missing either. Tracy started calling all of Mason's siblings and none of them had heard from him. Meanwhile, the police were patrolling the area looking for Mason. There are about 100,000 people in St. George proper and almost 200,000 people in the surrounding area. We don't have a lot of homeless people here or vagrants, and so it would be easy to spot a 6'4" young man walking around. Back at his house, Tracy Smith was still looking around in Mason's room. When she found his computer, it was like a punch to the gut. Mason never went anywhere without his computer. And then she found out from the bus driver that Mason did not get on the bus the morning he disappeared. Not only had he not gone to school, he hadn't even gotten on the bus. It really is like something out of one of my nightmares. I'm sure a lot of yours as well. I can't even imagine. Now, look around this area. Not only is this a very residential area, it's very, very far from the downtown area. This is the outskirts of St. George. There is nothing but desert behind this. And in early September, it's still getting 110 degrees here on a daily basis. It's very, very hot here that time of year. Many people were very concerned about Mason's health and his safety because of the heat. The police stepped up their search, and the members of the Mormon Church got involved to assist as well. Then the police started getting tips that Mason had been standing on the side of the road holding a sign that said he needed a ride to Las Vegas. Now, whether or not this person was actually Mason has always been a hotly debated topic, but those reports did come in. Here in St. George, we're only about 90 minutes away from Las Vegas. The police contacted all of the gas stations near the freeway and asked for their surveillance tapes. While they were waiting on those tapes, someone called the police and said they spotted Mason in Las Vegas. So Darren Smith got in his car and drove to Vegas and began walking the streets looking for his son. Red Rock Search and Rescue got involved and were also helping to look for Mason. No one found him. Again, this is a 6'4", blonde-haired, blue-eyed kid. If he was out there, he would probably be seen. The Smiths, the police, the search and rescue, the church volunteers, everyone was looking for Mason Smith. His parents got his computer out and pulled the history. Mason had erased it. He wasn't active on social media, and most of the calls on his phone were to his mother. The police went through his devices and found nothing. Mason was very much an introvert, and he was very much a loner, and he did not have a network of friends to reach out to. The police got the surveillance tapes from the gas stations and reviewed them. Mason did not appear anywhere on the footage. I have to just briefly address the fact that there were some rumors that Mason might be gay. His mother said she had never heard him talk about possibly being gay. Those were new rumors to her. But there were kids at the school who either thought he might be or maybe had even teased him about that. And again, this is such a lesson in being kind to people because you just don't know what they're struggling with. 6 days had gone by since Mason Smith was last seen. His mother was again going through his room, and this time she made a startling discovery. Tucked away inside Mason's wallet, in a pocket she hadn't looked in before, was a note. It had been folded up and left for someone to find. The contents of this note have never been made public. Mason's mother sobbed as she read it, and she knew Mason was gone. The letter was 2 pages long and is described as very personal and very emotional. The only words that his parents have ever released from the note are, "I'm done." There was then a sighting at a Panda Express about 2 hours from St. George. A young man approached a group of girls and asked them if they had spare change for the bus. The girls said the boy was very polite and they gave him all they had. When Tracy Smith heard about the encounter, she contacted the girls. She played a recording of Mason's voice for the girls, and they said that yes, that sounded like him. They showed the girls a photo, and again, the girls said yes, that was most likely the same boy. Unfortunately, the cameras inside Panda Express were not working at the time. Then police revealed something a bit disturbing. They learned that Darren Smith went to the gym on the morning of September 1st, the morning Mason disappeared, and Darren's gym card was swiped at 7:45. Darren had previously told the police that he knocked on Mason's door, and when there was no answer, he left him alone, and then later on heard Mason leave at 7:45 as usual. How could Darren have heard Mason leave at his usual time when Darren was at the gym at that time? Police were suspicious, and they put a tracking device on Darren's truck and left it there for 60 days. Law enforcement later revealed that they found absolutely nothing useful by tracking Darren. They do not believe he is involved. It's now been more than 7 years since Mason Smith was last seen by his family, and we are no closer to knowing where he is now than we were then. As you can only imagine, like I can only imagine, Mason's family has been through pure hell and they're looking for any type of closure. There is a large Facebook group called Find Mason Smith, and his name is spelled M-A-C-I-N. There's about 56,000 members in that group, and I'm in it, and I read posts all the time, and not just about Mason, but other missing people. There are some really sad stories out there. This is an age progression photo of what Mason would look like clean shaven at this point in time. This is what he might look like with long hair in a beard. There is still a chance Mason could be found safe and well and has chosen to stay missing. There is also a chance that Mason chose to end his life and is waiting to be found. If you have any information, anything at all that you believe might help find Mason Smith, please contact the Utah Department of Public Safety Cold Case Tip Line at 833-377-7233. That's 833-DPS-SAFE. I want to send love and thoughts of support to Mason's family, our community. I'm sure I speak for all of us when I say that we really are hoping for some closure on this, and we hope that your son is found, your brother is found, your grandson is found, and our hearts go out to you. Thank you for joining me today on Dining with Death, Dining with the Disappeared. Hit the like button if you liked the video and subscribe to the channel if you'd like to support me. You can also join my Patreon. And if you do that, the end goal, as always, is to raise money for cold case DNA storage testing. You can help with that. Stay safe, my friends, and be kind to each other. And I'll see you next time on Dining with Death. Bye.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.